We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, is joining us. Lisa, hello and how are you? Good to have you on, as always.
I am fantastic. Glad to be here.
Great. Now, we have a story we'll throw at you that just came up this morning, but I think I know what you're going to say about this. There's a restaurant, a breakfast place in Wisconsin, and 4 months ago, they put a sign in the window that said, if you smell like weed, you're going to be asked to leave. And nobody made a fuss about it until recently when a few people had been asked to leave. The owner of the restaurant, the manager, says, yeah, we got complaints and we're doing this.
A lot of our customers were complaining about individuals that we were allowing in the restaurant that smelled like marijuana or a skunk, actually, is how they attributed it.
But so far, the folks that have been kicked out have been young African-American men and women, and they're saying this is targeted.
I think marijuana was very intentional, because had they just said no smelling of smoke, then maybe everyone wouldn't feel so targeted.
And the guy says,
by that argument, whites don't smoke weed.
I mean, there's plenty of whites that smoke weed.
There's some holes in the argument, I think.
Agreed. But so far, these are the folks that have been kicked out, and they're saying this is racist.
It's disappointing because you're going to start putting that everywhere, basically, and saying that we are not allowed here. And it's Black History Month, so yeah, I'm proud to say that. Take the sign down.
I can get the sign down. It's Black History Month.
Take that sign down.
Chris Dim.
I'm high and I'm proud.
Okay. Chris Dim an hour ago called her the modern day Rosa Parks. But the guy says this is not motivated by age or race or anything. It's like people are complaining. You smell like skunk. I think he's well within his rights. Lisa, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, he is. You know, I've been to Wisconsin a number of times, and I have to call BS on something. There ain't no Black people in Wisconsin.
Okay, well, there you go. This is fabricated.
I've never seen a Black person in Wisconsin.
This is fake news.
I think she's some kind of poser that has come in. maybe an agitator. Maybe an agitator.
Oh,
maybe. I don't know. But no, he can. It's not on its face, you know, racially discriminatory at all. He doesn't like the smell of weed, and yeah. You know, and he's well within his rights to do that. Now, if he picked something that is unique to Black people, like maybe like dreadlocks or something, you don't see too many white people with dreadlocks, right?
Right.
That would be more targeted. But here, where he is picking something that is pretty universal across the races, no, then he's well within his rights to do that.
Does it matter, Lisa, if the business owner, in this case, the pancake shop guy, do you have to put up a sign, or can you just say we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone?
I mean, certainly a lot of restaurants do that, mm-hmm. And I think because there's an allegation that he's targeting African-American people, I think he ought to be specific about it here, where it's his, you know, it's his preference about the marijuana smoke. Yeah. I think he'd be covering his bases better if he did that. But yeah, I mean, lots of restaurants do that. But then see, if he has that kind of sign and he's only kicking out Black folks, then he might have a problem where it looks like it's racial.
Okay, yeah.
And for the record, weed is illegal in Wisconsin.
I was going to ask. I didn't know so not only that.
I just looked it up.
Now, if it were a legal state, I still think he's within his rights because it's a private business.
Oh, yeah. Like you can say a business, you know, is just no smoking in general or whatever. I mean, they can, no, he can say no weed even where weed is legal.
Okay. Even if you just smell like it. So, yeah, I didn't think they had a legal leg to stand on. And do you know, I used to talk about Wisconsin. I remember hearing a report from Green Bay Packer players years ago that said people would come up to them on the street and say, well, you must be a Packer. You're a Black guy. You know, they'd be in Green Bay.
They're literally, you look around and you don't see people of color whatsoever.
I mean, it is true.
The craziest thing.
I've been to Green Bay once. I was in a bar. It was packed. It was right before the NFC Championship game, Panthers-Packers. And I looked around, took note. It's like, there is nobody of color in here.
If it wasn't so cold, I'd live here forever.
Lisa,
I can't feel my feet, but otherwise.
Don't let him do that to you.
Lisa, can you object? Are you just going to let that stand? You're my attorney. What?
Oh, yeah, don't say that.
Okay, thank you. Here's an NFL story as well from Detroit, a rival of the Green Bay Packers. The Lions fan who was in a televised punching match with DK Metcalf of the Steelers during a game at Ford Field.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Remember this guy? His name is Ryan Kennedy. Now, Metcalf got suspended like two games, punched him while the game was going on in the stands. Biggie's never liked this guy because he wore a backwards hat.
The fan.
The fan, yeah.
at his press conference. He had a backwards Lions hat on.
You didn't care for that. I remember.
No.
I remember you saying, "I'd have punched him too," was Biggie's quote. Mm-hmm. Well, he's filed a $100 million lawsuit accusing Metcalf, the Steelers, the stadium's management, and some media figures, former NFL players, of defamation, negligence, assault and battery, all because he was on the sideline and got punched by DK Metcalf. Who's he suing, and how can he get that much money? I don't think he's got a leg to stand on here, Lisa. What do you think?
He's not going to get that much money, but I do think he'll get some money. I think they will settle. I mean, he clearly was punched.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody saw it. It was on a video.
Yeah.
And regardless of how big of a jerk this guy might have been with his blue hair and his racial slurs that he was allegedly slinging mm-hmm. at Metcalf, you still can't punch him.
Right.
And so what's kind of the double whammy here is, on top of the assault and battery that he's suing for, he's also suing for defamation because he says he can prove he was not shouting racial slurs. And that's what, you know, after the incident, the NFL, I think, and Metcalf came out and said, look, you know, that was unfortunate. He shouldn't have done it. But he was provoked, essentially, was what they were saying, because of racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's like, no, I did not. And you've damaged my reputation by alleging that I made racial slurs. And so I think they're going to settle with him. I think, you know, there ought to be video that proves what he was saying. Everybody's got video everywhere, right?
Yeah,
and there's plenty of video of the incident. And I'm sure there's some sound recording on some of these videos somewhere where we can hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Or it could be teased out. You know, there's technology now that you can go in and isolate certain voices and things like that. So I think that's going to come down to the defamation part is going to come down to, did he really utter racial slurs? And if he did, then of course his defamation claim is dead in the water, but he still has the assault and battery because you can't get punched in the
right.
You know, while you're in the stands. It's not cool.
Well, I think you answered my question. I was thinking, like, how could he sue anybody except Metcalf? Because the Steelers or the Lions security or whoever, the NFL, the media, they can't stop him from punching it. But what you're saying is he thinks they defamed him after the fact.
He thinks they defamed him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So he's going to get something, but not $100 million. You know, if I was him, I'd probably go for it too. It's your one shot. You got punched. Let me go for $100 million, see if I can wind up with a few million. Wouldn't it be something if this guy wound up with $5 million, becomes a millionaire because he happens to be punched by DK Metcalf during the football
Lucky. Player.
God, I mean, just
one. Lucky guy. It didn't even look like it was really all that.
I know. Oh, my God.
It looked like more of a glancing blow, like it didn't even – almost more like he was not teasing with him, but in an ugly way, like kind of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What if he took the money and bought the team?
Oh, my God. Got $100 million and bought ownership of the team.
Now, you need way more than
that.
You
would.
Yeah.
Remember, this is 100 years ago, but Dennis Rodman was on the side. He fell, like, out of bounds next to a cameraman in an NBA game and kicked
the camera guy.
A couple of times. I wonder if that guy got a bunch of money out of that. I don't know.
I don't know how that ended.
I mean, he did nothing. He was just sitting there filming the game.
Hey, Dennis.
Yep.
Rodman kicked it.
Yeah.
Another story here, this one from Iowa. It's Dallas County, Iowa. A couple of cybersecurity consultants, their names are Justin Wynn and Gary DiMercurio, have settled a lawsuit now for $600,000 7 years after they were arrested for breaking into the county courthouse there in Iowa. They were authorized, they said, under a contract from a year earlier with the Iowa Judicial Branch to test courthouse security. So they were arrested for burglary. The charges were dropped, but then they sued, and they won $600,000. Can you explain, Lisa?
Yeah, this is the craziest arrest I have ever heard of, because these guys, literally, it's what they do. They test your security, and they were literally hired. They have signed contracts. They had a million pages of proof that they were hired to break into this courthouse and show them flaws in their security.
Right.
And so they did it, and then they get arrested, and their mugshots were circulated all over the media. And it took almost a year for the charges to be dropped. And so they had, you know, they said, yeah, sure, they eventually exonerated us and told the truth. But by then, the damage was done.
Yeah.
So they are, so they got $600,000 for that.
I like that, too.
That's a job.
That's a job to break into somebody's security, to break into the place. Yeah.
Physically break in.
They broke into the courthouse. Boy, you'd think that's pretty dumb.
Your son could do that.
That should be my son's job.
There's a great old movie called Sneakers.
Oh, I love Sneakers.
Oh,
and that's what they do. That's how they do. They're paid to break into, like, banks.
That's right.
and then go the next day and show the people, hey, here's where it went.
It's a callback there, Biggs.
It's a great movie. River Phoenix, Robert Redford.
Unbelievable cast.
Several others.
Highly underrated movie.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy cast.
And they've all three of those have left us now, but they are.
Dan Aykroyd. I mean, it has all the greats.
It's a great movie. You're right. Sneakers. Mm-hmm. I saw it in the theater.
Jealous, because it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, great. Good stuff.
Hey, Lisa, I have a question.
Yeah.
About, like, security camera and stuff. If you work somewhere and you know a coworker has said or written something horrible about you, but they claim they've deleted it, can you get that off a security cam legally and use it?
Lisa, you're my attorney. Can you not object to this? Is there some sort of objection we can come with?
File your lawsuit, Biggie, and then you can subpoena that.
Well, okay.
That's in the ether.
Oh, they're going to seize your electronics, Kelly.
You can't have my electronics now. You can't see where I've been.
When we're done, put Lisa back on hold.
Well, that brings us to the story. Speaking of your electronics and what you've done online, some OnlyFans. OnlyFans has been sued. Class action lawsuit in California. Saying they're doing bait and switch, that customers,
baiting,
you know,
that's one thing they're doing.
Customers think they get to see like all nude, all body, and then they get in there and they're being charged more. You know, you only get a bikini shot and you're supposed to be able to see them nude.
I have heard about this, that some OnlyFans models are doing, like, you join what you think is their normal page, and then once you're there, it's like, oh, you want my pay-per-view page, which costs this much per month.
Yep, charging them more.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit shady up front. Is there a chance for this class action lawsuit, Lisa? We're very interested.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's true that they are clearly saying that you get full access for this monthly subscription, but then these folks are saying you hit paywall after you do that, and you get, you know, you get in through your subscription, and you're still hitting further paywalls, but... Here's the thing with OnlyFans, and they've survived a number of lawsuits like this. They have all kinds of fine print that it comes up on the screen when you're agreeing, you know, your terms of service kind of thing. And I'm sure they have all kinds of language in there about what you're actually getting, and that the members may, or the whatever they call the ladies and men that do the, you know, the stuff.
Content creators.
Content creators. The booty shakers, right?
You know, yes. Yes, Lisa.
The booty shakers may still charge you more. So that's what I'm sure it's in there. It's what's going to, I think, we'll boil it down to is whether or not it was so hidden that a consumer wouldn't see it. But you're usually responsible for what's in the fine print.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So I think the fine print will get them off here. That's how it is.
Yeah.
That works. Costco's facing a class action lawsuit as well, falsely advertising their $4.99 Kirkland Signature Seasoned Rotisserie Chicken, which I bought yesterday.
They're walking out the door right now at the stores, aren't they?
God, yes. And let me tell you, when they're cooking those things, and they were yesterday, it smells so good.
Oh, at least, it's so good.
They're great.
We're Costco lovers. Oh. We have that in common. Yes.
I was in there yesterday, Lisa. It's wonderful. Anyway, they've claimed those chickens no preservatives, but there's a group in court in California that says, yes, you have preservatives. You have sodium phosphate and, I won't pronounce this correctly, carrageenan.
Yeah.
And they said these are both preservatives, and we found them in testing. So the class action lawsuit goes against Costco. Who wins, Lisa? What do you think?
I think Costco is probably going to settle this, but you know, these are not, I don't think they're like super dangerous preservatives, but they are preservatives. I personally don't care. I bought two of these birds last weekend when the ice storm was coming, or snowstorm, or whatever it was, but I made chicken and dumplings. Good.
Oh yeah. Amen, sister. Yeah. They do. That's a great bird. And that bird, that's great.
I would kick you both off the jury so fast.
That bird.
I love it.
See you too.
Yeah, they would.
I don't care what's in the bird. Just give it to me.
In the bird. Yeah.
I don't care.
Costco did put signage on these birds that said no preservatives. They have now removed that, and so they're admitting, you know, look, yeah, we were false about that. So I think they'll probably settle with them.
All right.
Yeah, they're called their okay fine chickens.
Yeah, it's got some preservatives, but still good, still too good. Oh
it's
my
now
god!
Now they're just a couple of preservatives.
Yeah,
the skin on those things, delicious. This is food related as well. There's an Indian couple that is they've won already a $200,000 settlement from the University of Colorado Boulder.
India, the country.
They are from India and going to the University of of Colorado, and they're suing the school, claiming discrimination, or they did. They had a dispute. Apparently, they heated up an Indian dish, paneer, in a campus microwave in 2023, and a staff member said, "It's too pungent. Get out of here." And others were heating up like their sandwiches and stuff in the microwave. And they said, "Well, that's fine, but you Indians and your food, you can't. You know how it stinks in here sometimes when there's food in the microwave." But the Indian couple prevailed. They called it racist, and they said it triggered the microaggression. There were microaggressions, and it was triggering to them. And they won, Lisa. Were you surprised?
No, I don't think so, because it really, I mean, it rose to this level of, it wasn't just that they were told not to warm up their food in the microwave, but they ended up being really harassed, and they lost their funding for their PhD programs. They were stripped of their teaching roles. They lost their advisors. There was all this retaliation when they made noise about, "Hey, we want to warm up our food. This is just what we eat every day," you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I will say, I mean, it's food like that. I mean, I love Indian food, but it is stinky when you warm it up. I mean, I remember way back in college, there was a couple of girls on my hall that were of Indian descent, and they did a lot of cooking on a little burner in their room. Oh, my God, the whole hall would stink to high heaven. Mm. And they caught a lot of flack for it. I mean, I remember, like, an RA got involved and stuff. I mean, and you see it, too, sometimes, like, if people will bring, like, fish or boiled eggs or something to work. I mean, it's not cultural, necessarily. It's just stinky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens here. Somebody will...
Oh, God, yeah.
In the microwave, they heat something up, and
it'll stink up the whole place, yeah.
They call this food racism. And
food racism,
A lot of folks have spoken out, Indians in particular, have spoken out, like, "Yeah, we like this food, and just because it stinks, too bad. This is what we're eating in the microwave." That's a really interesting thing. Like, it's like, if you have something that doesn't stink, it's okay, but that food
interesting
stinks.
This segment began with stink in a food restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
And ends in a dorm.
Yeah.
A different kind of stink. Yeah.
I think it would have been different if they had not really targeted these people so much, if they had put up a sign, you know, "Please don't warm up anything, you know, that smells strongly," or something, you know. But they really, not only did they really target them about their food, but then they just went so beyond and just, like, you know, went after them big time.
Well, here's a sad ending to this. They got their $200,000. They return to India and say, "We're never going back to the United States again. This has left a bad taste in our mouths because of the, you know, pun intended, the taste in our mouths because we were treated so poorly here." That's too bad. You're right. They should have just put a blanket thing up saying, "Hey, watch your stinky food," to everybody.
All right. No stinky food, please.